I am hoping that some of you may remember the name, if not from his two previous novels. You're going to remember it after you read Shooting Lessons, the third from Lenny Kleinfeld. Lenny, how are you? How's the weather in Los Angeles?
Sunny during the day. It's springtime in Southern California.
I just asked you that to make me feel lousy. It's great to talk to you. This is your third. I think we've talked about. I know I had you on the air to talk about some dead genius before. But yeah, I want to talk just for 5 minutes about your Chicago years, where you were a playwright, you were a columnist for Chicago Magazine, because I know a lot of people remember your name. You cut a pretty big swath there.
Well, thank you. Well, at least in the theater community, I was lucky enough to be around during the early 70s, and the whole awfully professional theater scene was busy giving birth to itself.
Yeah. Who'd you work with? I saw it on Facebook, and I never, Lenny, I never go on Facebook, and I saw on Facebook a note from Bob Falls saying, hey, I wish I could listen to you on Rick's show. How can I do this?
Bob, when Bob was running Wisdom Bridge Theater, he had the misfortune to produce one of my really bad scripts. I started in Chicago with Stuart Gordon.
Sure.
We had met at college at the University of Wisconsin. And then he started The Organic, and I got a call from him one night who said, asking if I wanted to write a trilogy of science fiction plays. And I said, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
And that was Warp. Ask your grandparents about it, they'll remember.
Hey, I remember. What are you kidding? Yes, you listeners out there, ask your grandparents. That was, I mean, it's hard. It's not hard to remember what, it's hard for some people to remember what a huge, huge hit that was and how unbelievably successful for a time until Stewart kind of got lured to Hollywood, how important that the Organic Theater Company was at the time.
Yeah, well, it was one of the first companies that turned professional and paid a salary.
Yeah,
and did a lot of original work.
Yeah.
And also, it helped that Stewart was one of the most incredibly creative and funny directors who's ever walked the earth.
Yeah.
That's always an ace in the hole there.
Now, what lured you out? When did you leave Chicago, Lenny?
That happened in 1986.
Wow.
I arrived in 71, when the first Mayor Daley was still in office, and I left in 86, and that was so long ago there were still payphones at O'Hare that would cut you off after 3 minutes. Like everybody else in the theater scene, you sort of doing good work and having a great time is plenty till you're about 30, and then your body starts wanting more money.
Well, and your brain starts wanting to say, "I think I need things like health insurance," and I think
that always helps. And everybody I know was either doing TV or movies or moved onto theater in New York. And I wrote a screenplay, and the night I finished it, I got a call from Michael Douglas's director of development. Stewart had given her my name; they were looking for somebody to adapt the novel.
Oh.
I didn't get the novel gig, but he liked the screenplay and bought it. So suddenly, two days later, I was in the movie business.
About this, and you've been in the movie business sort of on and off ever since, have you not?
Well, no. I had a 3.2 near career. It was sort of like near beer. I worked very steadily for 15 years. I sold about half a dozen screenplays, and not one of them ever got shot.
You know, that's something that people, I know another person who, and I know a number of people who've done that the number of movies to screenplays written for movies is about, 5%, wouldn't you say?
They generate a ton of product and scripts, and then they shoot a very small percentage of them.
it's
an industrial process, basically.
But also, you can hone your craft, though, as a screenwriter because you're paid, one is paid, or used to be, I suppose, fairly well for that kind of thing.
More than off-loop theater, yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the craft of screenwriting?
Uh, Yes, I did. You know, I knew how to write a script, but it also is much more concise because you've got a camera,
yeah.
and that eliminates the need for thousands of words.
Right, right. And so one of the nice things about this book, too, and I really want to get into shooting lessons, because it does involve shooting, and it does involve... there's a famous... I just want to tell you this, Lenny Kleinfeld, because we kind of know each other. There's a famous story written by a man named... I can't remember his name, but it was called Killing Santa Claus, where some mad killer goes out before Christmas and kills a bunch of Santa Clauses. And not that you borrowed from that, but in your book, in the new book, Shooting Lessons, what is happening in Chicago is the murder of drivers, yes?
Yeah, somebody's murdering the drivers of a very large ride-hail company.
I'm going to read this, and I think that you don't mind if I read from your book, do you?
Oh, I'm terrible at it. I wish you would be the one to do this, yes.
Well, here's a portion of it. The media had been in serial killer heat since the news of one man's murder broke. The perp had been dubbed the Macro being the name of the company, the Macro Killer, which inspired a deluge of speculation and memes about whether that moonwalker wasn't his only job description. It was a prediction about what he'd do to the macro empire. CNN was playing clips of two Chicago macro drivers who said they were going on hiatus until the macro killer was forced, or maybe forever. Live in the studio, the anchor and anecdotal evidence indicated, quote, dozens, end quote, of macro drivers in Chicago were doing... This sounds so like TV, Lenny Kleinfeld. You so captured this. We're doing the same, and so were, quote, an unknown number, end quote, around the country. Macro claimed it was only a, quote, handful, end quote. Rival ride-hail apps claim they were getting hundreds of applications from macro drivers. It's a fascinating premise that we're going to explore. Also, I'm so taken with this Mark Bergman, a cop in the book. How long did it take you to write this, Lenny? Because I have some vague feeling that it's been a few years since we talked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This took a good 3.5 years. I started a book number 3 that, you know, the same two cops who were in the first two books.
Yeah.
And I was about 75 or 80 pages into it, and it just wasn't working.
Oh.
So that just, you know, throw that one out the window, and I had to start all over and come up with a whole nother idea for a book, and then you have to sort of outline it to convince yourself it's going to work, and then you get it finished, and it says, hey, you got to rewrite me another couple of times before you can, you know, unleash this on the public.
Well, I'm going to ask you, when we come back from a very short commercial break, I want to ask you the difference between, there's something very, very cinematic about this book, about your latest novel, Shooting Lessons. And I want to ask you, so mull it over, the differences between writing a play or a screenplay and a novel. We will be right back. Welcome back. If you are looking for a good, entertaining, knowing, funny, suspenseful read, Shooting Lessons by Lenny Kleinfeld is that book. It is under the large umbrella of crime fiction, and it involves a person who is out killing the drivers for a rideshare company called Macro. One of the first drivers to go happens to be Lenny, and I don't take this personally, a former Tribune reporter who left being downsized.
He's the second person that
yes.
killed. I knock off an
actor. Oh, the
first.
Second, you're right. The
so
second
the first
one.
To die is from my tribe, not yours.
The second one is a reporter. I love it. I love it. I love it. The book is written, I said it was very cinematic. In that it comes at you with great, great force, and I think part of that is the short, the chapters are quite short, and I'm not saying half a page, though I think one or two are.
Oh, are, yeah. Well, I think that's something I picked up from writing screenplays. Both on the stage and the screen, time is very ruthless. You know, you have to be incredibly efficient. And with camera, you need much less language in the movies because the camera can do a lot of the work. There are close-ups, there's a long shot of storytelling. Whereas with a book, the reader controls the flow of time. They can read at their own pace. They can stop. They can reread. They can walk away and come back and pick it up. So you have a little bit more leisure with that. But what I did learn is that you can do contrapuntal storylines in a book very similarly to the way you do it in a movie. For instance, in this book, we've got the serial killer who's knocking off the ride-hail drivers simultaneously with a very large, powerful gun lobbying organization who's mounting a very flashy, expensive
campaign,
campaign
for everybody,
to lift all handgun restrictions in Illinois.
Yeah.
And that allows me to bounce back and forth between the two stories and, gradually merge them.
Well, that thing makes it, it's a campaign to have everybody allowed to have conceal and carry, which gives me the chills on the very face of it. But it also makes this book incredibly topical, I think. And I hear, and you have a wonderful way of drawing characters, too, among the most interesting in the book, because the former Tribune reporter named Gold dies pretty quickly in the book. Your detective, Mark Bergman, is you really, really capture him here in this one grab, if I can read it. You write, Lenny Kleinfeld writes, 6 months ago, while hunting a serial killer nicknamed Art Critic, Mark took down a gangster and two mercenaries who were trying to eliminate a witness. The four notches on Mark's gun, combined with Mark being single, smart, and not ugly, put him on screens across America and beyond, which made him Superintendent of Police Gary Shook's favorite public relations toy. The Soup personally donated Mark to the Bachelor Auction, a fundraiser hosted by the wife of the alderman who chaired the city's budget committee. You still, I don't know if you revisit Chicago all the time or keep tabs
all
on
the time.
Yeah, well, good, because that really captured, that is, to my mind, I go, yeah, that could happen, that could absolutely happen tomorrow if it hasn't already happened today. You must be, what drew you, Lenny, from, it drew you to novel writing? Because I've read them all, and this one, Shooting Lessons, is, I'm not going to say it's more accomplished than the others, but it's a more forceful book. Let me put it that way. What drew you to novel writing in the first place?
Well, I don't know what it means in the rest of the country, but in Los Angeles, the term first-time novelist is actually a Latin phrase meaning unemployed screenwriter over the age of 50. I mean, I had to write something at that point in my career when people stopped buying screenplays to read and not produce.
Uh-huh.
And I've always liked reading crime fiction.
Sure.
And you like any art form, you imitate stuff that you like and hope that you can do something that other people will like.
All right, this being number 1, 2, 3 in your novel career, do you feel, is it easier? I mean, obviously this one wasn't. If you wrote so many pages of something and tossed it away, but this book just feels so much more self-assured. Am I making too much of that, Lenny Kleinfeld, or not?
No, I think after 3 books, I'm finally getting slightly better at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not writing as quickly as I did when I was young, but I you get better at something with practice, you know?
Yeah.
Except maybe golf. Practice doesn't seem to help most people I know who play that game.
Well, I also love the fact, I mean, I love many things about your oeuvre, as I'll now call it. You still have an incredible sense of this city, and I think you obviously feel so comfortable writing about Chicago, don't you?
I arrived in Chicago at the age of 20 and fell in love with it. The city welcomed me, and I married a girl from Chicago, and my friends in theater that I met in Madison were many of them were Chicagoans, like Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the most intense and interesting 15 years of my life, possibly, at least professionally, were spent in Chicago. And I just think it's the best American city. And nothing that's happened in the years since I've left it has done anything to change that opinion.
Have you gotten movie nibbles from your novels?
Not one.
That's astonishing to me.
Boy Can Only Hope. Actually, I think the three books are almost, you know, each one stands alone, but it's almost one long story. You know, it's the same two guys, and it does progress chronologically. I would think that if I had my druthers and my dreams about this came true, it would be like a cable TV series where you could do each book could get 8 or 10 episodes instead of squeezing it into 90 minutes apiece.
Well, from your lips to some smart producer's ears, are you working on something new now?
No, I'm just, you know, rinsing my brain with wine and waiting to get to the launch of this book, and then I'll, you know, resume thinking about what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Yeah, who isn't? Who isn't? I also love Lenny Kleinfeld, that you dedicated this book to Sheldon Patinkin, who was, I cannot read one of Sheldon's philosophies as it is captured on the dedication page, but you call him a writer-director, professor and loving uncle to 4 decades of the Chicago theater people. Lenny, it's great to talk to you, and I got to tell you, it's even more fun to read you. I really love this book.
Oh, thank you. And I really appreciate how you've, for decades, gotten behind any Chicagoan who did something you thought was worthwhile.
Well, thank you.
And I'm honored to be.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. But thank you for saying that. I thought you were going to say for any Chicagoan. I am more discriminating. The older I get, the more discriminating I get. And someone will call and say, like, did you read my book? I go, uh-huh. Can I be on the radio? I go, and I literally, if they don't live here, I'll lie to them and say, well, I don't have a radio show.
Well, I'm Andre DeShields, the great organic theater actor who had a
picture
on Broadway.
Sure.
Andre's line that he's had since college for handling what happens when you go see somebody in a play and they're terrible and you have to go backstage and talk to them afterwards is to say, well, you've done it again.
Thank you for that. I will use that. Lenny, take care of yourself. Let me know the next time you're in town.
Absolutely.
The novel is Shooting Lessons. The name is Lenny Kleinfeld, KLEINFELD.com. So take care of yourself and enjoy the weather.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye.
My pleasure.